Today we celebrate the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We have a perfect reading today, I think, to help us to understand what it means when we say that Mary's heart was immaculate. And I think it also helps us to think about yesterday's solemnity, which is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. A lot of times in iconography or religious art, you have them right next together. You have Jesus with his exposed Sacred Heart and Mary with her exposed Immaculate Heart. Sometimes it's just the hearts placed right next to each other. Sometimes it's an image of them with their hearts exposed. So there's an important connection between the two. And if we just think about yesterday's solemnity and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, one of the things we notice about the depiction of Jesus' heart is that there's an open wound in it. And of course, this is scriptural, that there's an open wound in Jesus' heart because of the soldier who thrusts his spear up into Jesus' heart. And part of the reason why there's good reason to believe that the spear went up and pierced his heart is because of the blood and water that John tells us flowed from the wound in his heart. And medicine tells us that there's a fluid-filled sac called the pericardium around the heart that would have been pierced then when the spear pierced through Jesus' heart, thus with the fluid coming out, the blood and the water. But there's much deeper meaning than just the physiological aspect. But it's that Jesus' wound then, as we see also in the Gospel of John, remains open even after his resurrection, such that he invited the doubting apostle St. Thomas to put his hand right into his side. So that wound that Jesus suffered there on the cross, as well as the wounds in his hands and in his feet, remained open wounds. And so when we look at Jesus' Sacred Heart, that's what we see, the open wound in his heart. And this helps us to see that Jesus' heart is literally open to us. And he wants us to come right in there, to come into that heart. And if we leave his heart remains open. So what does he want us to do? Come right back up in there. And I think parents have a special insight into this wounded love of Jesus' heart in the unconditional love that you feel for your own children. And if you're a parent, you've experienced what it's like to feel rejected by your child or betrayed by your child. But as a parent, because of the unconditional love, you have an open heart towards them. So they're always welcome to come back. So they might leave you, but they're always welcome, and you always want them to come back. So it's like that your heart is open, that the wound of love in your heart remains open towards them. It's like an open door. You want them to stay inside there, but if they choose to leave, the door's still open. So the open wound in your heart is like the constant invitation to come back. And that's Jesus' unconditional love. Of course, we as human beings love imperfectly, but if this is the way that we imperfect human beings love, how much more so does Christ love us perfectly and always want us to come back, just to come back to him? So this helps us to understand Jesus' Sacred Heart and the wound of love that is his Sacred Heart. This helps us to understand Mary's Immaculate Heart. Because even though Mary's heart wasn't literally pierced by a spear, there was a prophecy when she presented Jesus in the temple, when Jesus was just a little baby, that a sword of sorrow would pierce her own heart. So it's like an invisible wound in her heart. There are other saints too who suffered even invisible wounds of Christ. Sometimes they were would appear, or they were visible to that person and invisible to the rest of the world. But this is what was going on in Mary's heart. She had an invisible wound that was a real wound. And so what do we see about Mary's heart? Well, she's open. Her heart is open in love, wounded for love, right along with her son, for us too. So we have a mother whose heart is so open to us and wants her to live in her heart. And if we leave her heart, she just wants us to come right back. So I think an important question for us is how do we ourselves get to have this kind of heart? A heart that's so loving, like Jesus's heart and Mary's heart. We often pray this traditional prayer as Catholics: make our hearts like unto thine. We could say that of the Sacred Heart of Jesus or of the Immaculate Heart of Mary: make our hearts, make my heart like unto thine. So we want our hearts to be conformed after the Sacred Heart of Jesus and after the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I actually think that this gospel reading today helps us to understand how this process happens. Again, if we think of Jesus's heart pierced by a sword, and he lets his heart be pierced by a sword, he lets his heart be wounded by love. Mary too allows herself to be wounded by love. And in this gospel passage today, which should horrify us in many ways, this trauma that Mary and Joseph experienced when they lost Jesus for 3 days, can you imagine? I mean, I don't have biological children of my own. I can't imagine the suffering that they must have experienced in that. You who have children have better imagination for what this would have been like, to lose your little boy for 3 days in the midst of busy Jerusalem. And it's not like everybody's a nice person back then, like now. So your mind would go immediately to the worst possible outcome of what has happened to your son. And with every passing minute, that anxiety only would have increased. And so sometimes we can run the risk of thinking that Jesus's heart, or maybe especially Mary's heart, was like a porcelain heart that was just so pure it didn't feel anything. It was like too good to feel, or only felt happy, only felt joy. It was perfectly peaceful at all times. But what does Mary say when she and Joseph finally find Jesus? She says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." So Mary's heart, not just at the foot of the cross, but even at the beginning of Jesus' life, Mary's heart suffered for her son. Sometimes that suffering was even caused by her son, like parent suffering is caused by their children sometimes. So this is the important thing that we know about Mary's suffering, is that unlike us, she never tried to avoid it through sin, which is what we usually try to do when we are suffering. So we get upset about it, and what do? We curse the person who hurt us, or we immediately kind of fly to suspicion. Or we are feeling lonely and bad about ourselves, so we eat a bag of Cheetos. Or instead of going to pray and be with the Lord in our anxiety or in our pain or hurt, we just turn on the TV and try to numb in some way what we're experiencing, or we spend hours scrolling through the Facebook feed so we don't have to think about what's going on in our own life and in our own heart. So many ways, each one of us knows the defense mechanisms that we use to avoid suffering in our own life. I know the ones that I use. But if we want an immaculate heart like Mary's, if we want our hearts to be able to be wounded by love, we have to learn, God has to teach us to accept the sufferings that he gives us. Because that's where we're going to experience peace, freedom, love. One of my favorite quotations is actually from Pope Benedict's encyclical Spes Salvi. This is a wonderful encyclical all the way through. But this is something that he says that I find so powerful in it. He says, we can try to limit suffering, to fight against it, but we cannot eliminate it. It's when we attempt to avoid suffering by withdrawing from anything that might involve hurt, when we try to spare ourselves the effort and pain of pursuing truth, love, and goodness, that we drift into a life of emptiness, in which there may be almost no pain, but the dark sensation of meaninglessness and abandonment is all the greater. This is what happens when we try to numb our hearts through watching television or drinking too much or overeating. So he continues, it's not by sidestepping or fleeing from suffering that we're healed, but rather by our capacity for accepting it, maturing through it, and finding meaning through union with Christ, who suffered for us with infinite love. So it's the love of Christ's Sacred Heart that allowed him to accept and receive the sufferings, the wounds of love. It's Mary's willingness to accept suffering in her own heart that was the wound of love that made her heart on fire for love and totally loving. So today, let's give thanks to God for the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of the Immaculate Heart of our Mother Mary, who kept all these things in her heart, the sufferings, the joy, the misunderstandings, the pain, the gratitude, the grace, the glory. All of these things she experienced in her life, she didn't run for them or from them or hide from them or avoid them, but accepted them all with love. Let's ask for the grace to imitate her and her divine Son today.